First in line, a confession. I've always liked the drums. Nothing gets me going quite like a rousing drum solo. I watch drummers in all sorts of musical groups. I had a drum set as a kid. I have one now, although I don't have a place to play it. So, when I saw Mike Malone play in the UW Eau Claire Jazz Ensemble 1, and then in a small combo during an evening of dining, I finally made contact to talk about tubs, plates, cans, kits. You get the idea. Can anyone be taught to play the drums, I wondered, or is there some coordination gene that must be present in one's DNA, which, by the way, stands for drummer's natural aptitude? I went to Mike Malone for the answers.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can hit a drum, and anybody can tap a cymbal or anything and make noise, but I think it does take some dedication and maybe even a gift to be able to do it well, and there's a lot of coordination when you're playing with all four of your limbs, and it takes a lot of focus to be able to do it and call it music, and there's a lot of finite details that go into it that don't always get shown when someone's playing a simple rock beat.
Mike Malone started on piano, then went to electric guitar. When sixth grade band came around, he put tuba first, then sax, and percussion third. He started on the sax, but he got a drum set as a gift because his mom wanted him to play the drums.
No one in my family, as far back as I've met, has ever even played a musical instrument in a serious fashion. My mom played a little bit of piano, so we always had a piano growing up, but no one really played it. Had some siblings who went through middle school band, all of them quit by high school, and can't even think about my dad or grandpa or anything. I don't think any of them ever really played an instrument, so I think they always wanted me to do it, since it's a great way to express yourself and learn a new craft.
Malone grew up in Oshkosh, where it seemed few people took music to the next level after school. But then a new mentor came to town.
In my sophomore year of high school, we got a new band director who turned the program around and made it really great and made people think about music as like a lifetime choice. And even if you weren't going to pursue it as a music major, to still continue playing. I always knew that's all I wanted to do because it was all I was good at. My band director graduated from UW-Eau Claire, and he was actually a percussionist, so I formed a really close bond with him being a percussionist. He gave me private lessons, and throughout the entire time, I think he was pushing his alma mater on me because he had studied with the percussion professor here, and so he wanted me to study with the same guy, and sort of like this lineage of just keep passing people on to Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. And it's a great school. My first time I was ever here was over my spring break of my junior year to come visit, and it was during the jazz festival. I think immediately after the jazz festival, I knew this is where I was going to be, and what I wanted to do was play jazz and eventually play in Jazz One, which was, you know, the feature band of the festival. Yeah, there's nothing more inspiring than seeing a group that good play with people like Benny Golson and Dave Weckl, which were the two guests my first year, and just incredible.
He came to college well prepared for the experience and with a vision, but has still managed to be astounded at what he's learned.
Yeah, it's been crazy how far I've been able to come in just 3 years. I've always been more of a drum set player, as what I prefer in the jazz world and everything. But we don't have jazz degrees here at Eau Claire, so everyone here is a classical music emphasis major. So all of our private lessons and everything is mainly focused around classical music. So for me, that meant working on marimba and concert music and timpani and everything in that idiom. And I was always okay at that in high school, but I had never taken it on such a serious level. And I can say without doubt that the best thing that has happened while I've been here is to be forced to stretch myself over so many different genres. You know, I've never played in a serious orchestra before I got here, or in a really incredible concert band like I've been able to be a part of here. And obviously the jazz program was exactly what I expected, and I've been so lucky to work with so many different ensembles, and it's been a real blessing. It's definitely important to have a balance of all of it. Because even if I don't end up playing in, you know, Minnesota Orchestra or something great like that, I wouldn't take back what I learned about everything in an orchestra, because it definitely applies to everything I do in the jazz world, or even if I was playing in a rock band. It's all music, and it all has the same foundation.
As we sat together in a band room at the Haas Fine Arts Center, I wondered, what's the difference between rock drumming and jazz drumming?
Well, I think jazz drumming, you really have to be focused and dedicated and constantly improving. Not to say that in rock music we don't have to be constantly improving, but a lot of times, at least in the drummer's role, our role is just to play time and back up the guitar and the vocals. We're not at the forefront of the ensemble. So a lot of times it's just playing a simple beat and kind of spicing it up here and there. But in the jazz world, everyone has an equal share, and we're constantly improvising and working with each other and really trying to communicate something new every time we play, as opposed to make the same music. So, you know, I wouldn't be gigging today if I just sounded the same I did a year ago, because people would get sick of that really quick in that genre. So it takes a lot of focus and practice and dedication to be able to perform well in that genre.
Yes, getting better is what it's all about. And it's not just holing up in a practice room and doing a routine. There's the real world of simply getting out and playing with others as often as you can.
Yeah, that's, at least in the jazz world too, and in any genre, the best way to play is to play with new people, because they're going to play a different way than somebody you're already used to. And you're going to have to figure out how to react and adapt and play differently to them than you would to the people you play with every week. And just being out there and doing it is the best thing, because nothing matches up to actually performing live, whether you're playing for three people in a coffee shop or playing for 10,000 people in some super big auditorium. You just have to go out there and actually do it and experience it.
Here comes the technology in percussion question. And are there new trends in your world?
Yeah, I think people are feeling more free now to experiment with things that wouldn't be as standard in the percussion world, even 20 years ago. You know, 50 years ago in percussion, we had less than a handful of solo pieces written for mallet instruments and only a handful of percussion ensemble music, and it was really limited to what you were playing. If it wasn't on a snare drum, bass drum, or a set of toms or anything, it probably wasn't out there yet. But the best part about percussion is we have so many different instruments and different colors and sounds we can make. And at the end of the day, all we're doing is really hitting something. We do it with a lot of detail, but that's what it comes down to. And you can hit almost anything and make a noise. So people are feeling free now. I mean, I saw our percussion ensemble do a piece where they mounted a brown paper bag on a cymbal stand, and they were hitting it with a mallet for the, you know, the unique sound that it could get by itself. And nowadays, people are feeling less restricted to write music that uses, you know, the snare drum in the typical way of hitting it on the top. You know, you can play on the rims, you can play on the bottom, you can rub your hand across it and you'll get a sound. And
Here's a personal curiosity. I see bands playing and orchestras playing. I expect the horns and strings to have a music stand holding sheet music to follow. They're following notes and measures and notations. But when I see a drummer or a percussionist, also with a music stand, intently following the score, what the heck is on that paper?
We see it written the same way. Usually every line, which would be a different note, corresponds to some sort of instrument. Unless it's on a mallet instrument, we read it exactly the same. Notes go with, you know, corresponding notes on the instrument. But a snare drum may be where a middle C is, and a bass drum might be right below the staff. So a lot of times, since, you know, on any given band piece, there can be 3 to 5 different instruments. You can have triangle, bass drum, crash cymbals. They put it all on the same set of music, and we all read from one because our parts really have to go together.
Okay, but how about the person sitting behind a big drum set? What does he or she see?
Whenever I've read drum set music, there's much more liberty to mold your own set of notes for the music. The way you play it is much more free and open to your interpretation. So in a jazz big band, I may just have a part with slashes, which means play time, or, you know, time that supports the band. And then they might write in a few of the melody lines from the trumpets or the horns that need to get set up so that they can play them, you know, with the right level of dynamic and right articulation. So it's our job to keep everyone going with the time. And then it's also our job to say, this is how loud you're going to play at this part. This is how quiet to play. We really have to lead everything for them so they're reassured how to play the passage they're playing.
The thing I remember noticing about young Mr. Malone is how fluently he plays the drums and how much he seems to enjoy what he's doing. His head is in total control of his limbs, but they're also independently and spontaneously enjoying themselves at the same time, oblivious to what the other is doing. You know, that might be the definition of natural talent I've been looking for all these years. I'd better write that down. So, Mike Malone, what do you want to be after you're handed that diploma?
Well, I hope one day I can just make a living playing music and being involved with music. So whether that's, you know, teaching lessons to students, which I would love to do, because that way I could teach drum set and mallets and everything and give them the great balance that I've gotten since I've been here. but then also just play as much as I can. It's truly a blessing to be able to go get paid and call it my job just to go play for 3 hours and just have a blast making music with my friends. The best thing you can do to set yourself apart is, first of all, be a great player and always be on top of your game. Be extremely professional, never be late, never be a jerk. Always have what you need for the gig. Just be nice, you know. People want to be around people who are fun to be around, so can't have an attitude.
Well, you can if it's a good attitude. And that's what Mike Malone seems to radiate. You know, I'd be shortchanging myself if I didn't get the opportunity to hear him do his thing. So let's do that for a minute or two. Mike Malone, another in a line of talented young people from whom we're going to hear someday, in arenas bigger than Western Wisconsin can provide, and on programs with an audience much larger than that of Spectrum West, although no audience will ever be as dependable and appreciated